All right, 1 Samuel 15. Make sure you're there in your Bibles. Now, how many of you guys are video gamers? Anybody? Very good. How many of you guys spend at least 2 hours a day playing video games? How about 3 hours a day? 4 hours a day? 5? 6? You never sleep. That's what I thought. All right. Very good. Okay, well, when you guys play video games, you guys know that there's certain steps you have to take to finally get to the enjoyment of winning the game, right? Because there's certain levels you have to go through. There's guys you have to beat, or there's races you have to win, or there's battles you have to fight, or whatever it may be, certain steps, certain things you have to do to finally get to the end of the game. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, if you guys were here, that I'm terrible at playing the game solitaire, all right? I'm awful at that game. I lose all the time. But I happened to win a few days ago, and it brought me lots of joy in my heart. I smiled, and I think a little tear ran down my cheek, you know, and I was so excited. But to ever get to that point of joy, I had to take a few steps. In fact, I had to play about 7,000 games of solitaire to finally win one. But I also, there's lots of cards to move. There's a certain strategy that goes to the game that I obviously haven't figured out quite yet, and I'm no good at. But when it comes to life, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different steps that we have to take to finally be able to enjoy. And maybe you guys are here tonight, and life is kind of rough right now. And you're going through whatever, for whatever reason, and you don't understand why. You don't understand why it's happening to you. Well, you know, let me suggest to you that maybe you haven't taken all the right steps. And tonight, we're going to look at how lame is the aim of the game. Now, usually when you go buy a video game, they don't advertise it as being really lame, right? Can you imagine that? They're like, hey guys, probably don't want to buy this game. It's not that cool. You know, your parents probably won't even let you play it. You'll probably fall asleep even while you're playing. I mean, it's really lame, right? Do you think you'd want to buy that game? The commercial on TV is like 3 seconds long because that's all the cool parts they could put in there, you know. It just didn't look that cool. Now, it probably wouldn't sell that great. In fact, maybe you guys have like seen a commercial on TV for an up-and-coming movie. And you say, oh man, I can't wait to see that movie. Why is that? Because they advertise it in a way that makes it look appealing. And when you see that advertisement, you're drawn into it. But maybe you've gone to that movie and all they showed you on the previews were the best parts. Everything else was stupid. You guys ever been to a movie like that before? You're like, dude, the preview was cooler than the movie, you know? That was lame. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about how all of us should be lame, but not in the way that you guys may think. On the back of your bulletins, there's a space, L-A-M-E. We're going to be filling those in as we go along. Some things to think about tonight. Now, I was reminded of this as we were at Lone Tree. We went to Lone Tree last Wednesday. Or a week ago last Wednesday, we went out there, we did some team training out there, we hooked ourselves up to the screamer, and we dropped ourselves from a 45-foot swing. Some of us screamed like little girls, myself included. Some of us just gasped and held our breath. You know, they're like, 1, 2, 3, go, and they go, as they're flying down, you know, and then 10 seconds later they start screaming or whatever. I also did the running man in the air, you know, and all kinds of cool stuff. So we did the screamer, we did the Alpine Tower, which is this 50-foot tower that we got to climb. And I decided that I'm really out of shape after climbing that. Since I just sit in front of a computer all day and type, that's my job. But we did all kinds of cool stuff. But I was reminded of a couple memories I had at Lone Tree while we were out there. One is that, how many of you guys have ever been to Lone Tree? You guys have done the whole Lone Tree thing. You guys have rappelled, maybe, or whatever it is. Now, you guys know, if you've been there, that they have this big rappelling tower. They have the small one, which is 15 feet, which is about 2.5 of me, I guess you could say. Or they've got the 30-foot, which I was in charge of when I worked there on staff, which it would be 5 of me, all right? So if you can imagine 5 of me stacked on top of each other, that's the 30-foot rappelling tower. Now, the 15-foot is slanted like this, okay? It's really no big deal to go down. The 30-foot, though, is a little bit harder to go down. It's straight down, okay? And if you've rappelled before, you know that you're in this harness and you get hooked up. And me as the rappelling instructor, I'm up there on the tower and I'm backing you off of this 30-foot tower. Okay, so we'll say the tower's right here. You're backwards, just like this. And you're leaning backwards, 30 feet below. Okay, you've got this big drop. So you can imagine it's a little intimidating. Now, I've had some people really freak out on me when I was the rappelling instructor. One guy stands out in my mind. Okay, now at the time I weighed, you know, maybe 180 pounds. All right, 180 pounds. I'm up there. This big guy, he was probably 35 years old, walks up there. Easily 350 pounds, okay? This guy was easily, he could have eaten me for breakfast and still wanted more, all right? This guy was like, ba-boom, okay? And he comes up there and he's like, yeah, I'm going to rappel. I'm not scared at all. Yeah? All right. Tell me what I need to do, all right? So I get him all harnessed in and he's on his rope and he's all, I got to go down that? Yeah, that's the rappelling tower. Dude, it looks a lot higher from up here than it did down there, you know? So he's starting to second guess himself. I'm like, oh, you're going to be fine. You'll be fine. So remember, me 180, this guy 350, okay? Big guy, twice as big as me. So I'm backing him off, and he's all strapped in. I've got all the safety precautions on. If you guys have been there, you know how it works. I'm tied into a post in the back. There is absolutely no way both of us, or even one of us, could go flying off that tower. They do that. There's no way that could ever happen. But in the back of your mind, you're always wondering, could that ever happen? So this guy, he's backing off, and so he starts to lean back. And I'm like, all right, okay, you're doing good. Keep leaning. He's leaning back more and more and more. But he gets really scared to take the steps, okay? So I tell him, all right, stop leaning. You need to start walking down a little bit. Lean more. He's still leaning. Stop leaning, I tell him, okay? Take some steps. You got to take some. And he's leaning more. I'm like, dude, are you listening? Open your ears. Clean them out, all right? You need to start taking some steps. All of a sudden, remember, 350 pounds upside down, okay? 180 pounds right here. All of a sudden, his feet slip out from underneath him. 350 pounds is hanging upside down with a 30-foot drop below him. And you know what that does to me? It squeezes my hips and pulls me to the edge, all right? So I'm like this, like I didn't fall off there, but I'm balancing over the edge, 350-pound man upside down, crying like a little girl, okay? And I'm freaking out because I did not expect this to happen, and it almost jerked me off the edge. I've barely got half of my feet on the edge of the rappelling tower. So I finally talked this guy down. He's able to swing his feet around, and we were finally able to get him stood back up. Dude, this guy was crying like you'd never seen a little baby cry. 350-pound man just crying his eyes out. He was so scared. But why is it that he did not enjoy that rappelling experience? Well, because he almost died, obviously. Good guess. But what was the simple answer? What did he have to do to get down that tower? What was it? Do what? Listen. Very good. What else? Take some steps. Exactly. Take some steps. Listen and take some steps. He didn't do either one. Maybe he heard me, but he decided not to do anything about it. Oh, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. I'm a professional, he may have thought. He obviously wasn't when he was crying, okay? Obviously was not professional. But this guy didn't listen, and he did not take the steps that were needed. had he have taken the steps, just like everybody else, it would have been a very enjoyable experience. However, it turned out not to be that way for that guy. And tonight, we're going to look at the steps that we need to take to enjoy life. And sometimes life isn't always going to be enjoyable. We'll talk about that a little at the end. But so don't expect tonight for you to learn how to never have problems in life, because that's not going to happen. I don't have that answer. I can't tell you that cure. Jesus himself, God in human flesh, had a hard life when he was here on earth. And if he did, then we definitely deserve a hard life. So life is never going to be easy. But as Danny talked about last Saturday, you can have intense joy in the midst of the hardest times because you know where you're headed. And that's heaven. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you can have that joy tonight. If you haven't, then you can't really have that joy. You can't really have that peace that comes when you know for sure where you're headed. And that's heaven. So we're going to look at those steps tonight as we look at Saul, the story that happens with Saul and Samuel. Now, if you guys have read 1 Samuel, or maybe you guys were here a few about a year ago when we went through the book of 1 Samuel, you guys may remember this story. But you've also probably heard about King Saul, not always the smartest guy. This guy started out pretty good, but he didn't end up too well. And we're going to look at the story that kind of was the last straw for him, the story that broke the kingdom away from his leadership. In fact, towards the end, God tells Samuel, "I regret that I ever set up this man as king over Israel." And I hope that God would never have a regret about us, about setting us where he has set us, about placing us in the families or the jobs or the schools that we are in. I hope that when God looks at us, he says, "Man, I am so glad that I put them right where they're at, because look at what they have been able to do by my strength." I hope that's you. I hope that's me. So let's look at it tonight. Let's start reading 1 Samuel chapter 15, where we'll get to our first point here. Verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul — that's a lot of S's. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have." Now everybody say that little three-letter word with me, all. Okay, ready? One, two, three. All. All right, very good. "Utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Wow. That's pretty intense. So the first thing that we need to do is listen. Number one, listen. That's a very important thing to do. One thing that 350-pound repelling man did not do too well was listen. But we need to listen, especially when it comes to God, because he's not joking around. And he can see the beginning from the end, just like he did for Saul. And so he comes up with this very intense punishment. He says, "The Amalekites, you need to go and attack them." And how many people do you kill? Do you remember? All. You guys are good, man. You guys are good. All right. So he tells him, he says, "Hey, Samuel, go tell Saul to kill every single person, infant, and animal that is in the Amalekite camp." All right. So it's not, that was a pretty intense punishment. Would you agree? Absolutely everyone. "Hey, there's a good looking guy over there. Kill him. Hey, nice little sheep. Kill it. Oh, look at the little baby. Kill it." That's pretty intense. Would you agree? Man, that's harsh. But God made a promise back in the book of Genesis. He said, that anyone who cursed his people would bring a curse on themselves. And anyone who blessed his people would bring a blessing on themselves. And the Amalekites are one of the people who did not listen to that. They did not do our first thing. Listen. They did not listen to God's warning. They had a chance, but they didn't take it. And so, because they attacked Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt, you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Because they did that, God finally says, you know what? The time has come. Go wipe out that nation from underneath the sun. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, it says, I want you to kill them all so that they will never even be remembered. That their memory will be wiped off the face of the planet. That when someone says Amalekites, everybody's like, who's that? Who's that? I never heard of them. The Amalekites? The Amalahus? I don't know who that is. God says, get rid of those people, their animals, anything that has to do with those people. Listen to what I say. Get rid of them. They deserve it. Okay, now, with listening comes a choice. Well, actually, listening itself is a choice. We all have a choice to listen. And listening is a very important part of communication. In fact, I've heard that the words that we say is only 7% of communication, okay? The way we say it is another 38% of communication. And then the other 55% is all the rest. Our body language, our emotions, all of those things combine to form communication. But just the simple words written down, this is only 7% of what is being communicated. Think about it this way. You know, let's say one of you guys text messages me on my phone, all right? Now, or maybe I get on the internet and I get on my Google chat and one of you guys is on there. And all of a sudden I get a instant message from one of you guys and it reads this, Kevin, and it has 5 exclamation points. Okay. Now, that's only 7% of the communications. I couldn't see what you guys were doing, and I couldn't hear what you guys were saying when you typed that, all right? As far as I'm concerned, Kevin, in all capital letters, with 5 exclamation points, means you hate me and want to kill me, all right? Kevin! That's what it means. That could be it. Or maybe you're just stoked. Kevin! Or maybe you're really sad. Kevin! You know? But I don't know. Who knows what that means? That could be really good. That could be really bad. I need to listen. I need to hear. And so it helps. Because if you just see what's written, that's only part of the communication. We need to listen. And Saul had a direct word from God. Here is what God says. Go and do it. He had the chance to listen. And as I told you, listening is a choice. Now, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you guys have cell phones? Most of you guys. Okay. On your cell phones, by the way, if you don't have one, don't get one. This is like a leash. Okay. An electronic leash. But anyways, on your cell phones, someone calls you. Let's say your best friend calls you, but you're busy. Now, on my cell phone, I have an option to listen to them or not because I have 2 buttons. One is called answer. The other one, which I like to use, is called ignore. All right. So someone's calling and I say, oh, let's see, who is that? Ignore, you know, just hit the big ignore button. We have a choice to listen. And unfortunately, when it comes to God, a lot of times we choose to ignore. In fact, some of you who come to Velocity have been guilty of that. You come to Velocity and you may hear what you need to be doing and the way you need to be living, but you don't really listen. You don't really tune in. And maybe you do hear, maybe you do listen, but by the time you leave, you've forgotten it. You know what you're doing? You're hitting the ignore button. God is calling. He's trying to get your attention, and you need to listen. So Saul did the first thing. He listened. That's good. Samuel went and told him, hey, here's what God says. Go and destroy how many? all of the Amalekites. And so Saul listened. Saul listened. But listening by itself doesn't accomplish anything, does it? What's next? Number two, act. Not only should we listen, but we should act on what we've heard. Look at verse 4, 1 Samuel 15, verse 4. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. Everybody clap for Saul. Good job, Saul. We give you a hand because you listened and then you acted. But he didn't act all the way. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. But acting is a very important part of getting to the future of enjoyment. Let me tell you why. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that those of us who hear God's word but don't do it is like a guy who looked at himself in the mirror, saw that he was looking a little ugly, and then didn't do anything about it. Just walked away. In fact, while we were gone on our mission trip, one of the guys in the room, I won't mention his name, although he'd probably like it if I did, but he's not here tonight. One of the guys in our room, every single morning, he woke up with the worst bedhead you had ever seen in your life, okay? It's like this, standing up just on this side, all right? Just on this side. And he would just walk around like this. And I would ask him, "Hey, did we run out of mirrors or what, you know? Did you not get a chance to check yourself out today?" "Oh, dude, I love my hair," you know, is what he'd tell me. In fact, tonight, I love this about this guy. Tonight, I was putting up the Velocity banner. He came in here. "Hey, Kevin, check out my hair." Standing up, just like this, to church, okay? He wore his bedhead to church. Now, that guy is exactly, in a good way, the guy that the Bible is describing. James chapter 1 says that if you hear God's word, it's like a mirror. It reflects the good and the bad in your life, okay? So when you read it, a lot of times it's not too comfortable, right? Because it points out some things that you need to change. But in the morning, when you look in the mirror, that's a good tool to use, isn't it? Because it shows you, "Oh, hey, my hair's looking a little funky." Or, "What's that coming out of my eye? You know, I should probably fix that." Whatever it is, it points out the good and the bad, and you're able to fix it from there. And so acting is the second step. After you listen, you need to act on what you've heard. But a lot of times we skip right over this. Or a lot of times we go only halfway. "Oh, well, this is good enough." That's what Saul did. Look down at verse 8. "He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Now, hold on. Who did he take alive? The king? Okay, let's read on verse 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed." Now, does anybody see anything wrong with this story? What is it? What did he do wrong? He didn't kill. How many people was he supposed to? All. All the sheep, all the cute little babies, all the women, all the men, all the oxen. Kill them all, is what God said. And he didn't do it. It says he took some of the good ones. "Oh, this is good enough. Oh, no big deal. I'm just taking this stuff so I can sacrifice to God." God didn't want that. God did not want his disobedience so he could have a sacrifice. We'll read that here in just a minute. That is the opposite of what God wanted. God wanted obedience. God wanted Saul to not just listen, but to act. But not just to act part of the way, but act in complete obedience to God. And that's what God wants from each and every one of us tonight. Because I guarantee there's something that God is trying to do in your life. He is trying to work. He is trying to show you an area that you haven't fully surrendered to Him. But maybe tonight you're ignoring Him. You choose to pass notes instead. Maybe you're writing one right now. Maybe you're choosing to ignore God and push it to the side. Maybe not. You have a choice tonight. God is trying to get in, but you're ignoring. And maybe you've acted a little bit, but you haven't acted in full obedience. It's time to start doing that. God is trying to get your attention tonight. And let me tell you, if you act like Saul and you only act halfway, it's going to lead to where it led to Saul. We'll get to that in just a minute. So listen, act. Next, let's look down at verse 17. First of all, let me set the background here. Sin always has a way of finding us out. Have you guys figured that out? When you do something, no matter how much you try to cover it up, you usually get found out. Is that right? I know I've found that out a lot of different hard ways. And I finally came to the realization, hey, maybe I should try this thing called telling the truth. Because the truth always comes out in the end. And if no other human being knows, God always knows. And so he lets Samuel know. He says, hey, Samuel, hey, check this out. Remember what I told you to tell Saul? Yeah, kill everybody. Yeah, that was cool and all, but he didn't do it, did he? No, in fact, when you walk over there, you're going to hear sheep. You're going to hear oxen. You may see some Amalekite men and women running around. In fact, you may see the king himself. And Samuel may have said, why would I see all them? Because Saul did not act in full obedience. He was disobedient. So Samuel, through God's help, decides to lead him to a place of meditation. And that's our third thing. We need to listen, we need to act, then we need to meditate. Now that does not mean like the weird yoga sit, you know, cross-legged on the floor, all right? Different meditation, I don't encourage that at all. But check this out, verse 17. So Samuel said, speaking to Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Samuel has brought Saul to a place of meditation. And what I'm saying by meditation is thinking or pondering. Thinking hard about something. Now, all of us have something to meditate on. In fact, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a lot to think back on. In fact, even today, as I was thinking about this and praying about it, I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 2. Reuben's going to put that up here on the screen here in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, though, and it almost brought me to tears as I remembered where I've come from. Check this out. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive, verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That passage right there tells us that we were absolutely dead before Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever come upon something that's dead before, but it has no life in it, okay? It can't just jump up and start doing stuff all of a sudden. It can't, if it's a dog, it can't like go fetch a frisbee one last time, all right? It can't do that. If it's dead, what does it do? It lays there, starts to stink eventually. And without Christ, we lay there. We may be walking around physically, but spiritually, we are laying on the ground dead. And eventually, our lives will start stinking because of it. Without Jesus Christ, there is no chance of having life. And for those of you who have never made a decision to follow Christ, tonight you could make that decision after service. Maybe God is trying to speak to you. And maybe you're trying to listen, but it's time to act. It's time to act. It's time to meditate and think back on the things that you used to do, the way you used to live. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, it is always important to meditate on where we have come from. Do you guys understand how many guys you have accepted Jesus Christ and you are going to heaven? Awesome. Now, how many of you guys realize on a daily basis where you were saved from? Do you realize that you were saved from eternity in hell? Isn't that incredible? Amen. There we go. I could get a whole bunch of amens for that. We were saved from the pit of hell. That is something to get excited about. That is something to meditate on. That is something to think back on and say, man, that's where I was going, but now I know where I'm headed, and that is heaven for eternity with Jesus Christ. That is something to get stoked about. And when we listen to God, that is a good step. When we act on it, that is a great step. But it's also important for us to meditate and think back. Man, where did I used to be? Look at what God has done in my life. And that's what Samuel does for Saul. He says, dude, look back at where you were. Do you remember how small you used to be? No one even knew who you were. And then God selected you. He picked you out and he made you the king over all his people. Saul had a chance to look back. Saul had a chance to repent, but he didn't take it. In fact, if you keep reading in the next few verses, Saul goes on to say, but Samuel, I did do what God said, but this and but that. And Samuel says, no, that's not what God's looking for. Look at verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God is not looking for you to come at the end of every day and apologize for what you've done. God wants you to obey right where you're at. God wants obedience right where you're at. And the only way you'll ever get joy out of life, the only way you'll ever receive true peace is by going through these steps, listening to God, acting on it, meditating, thanking him for where you've come from. And all of that leads to our final thing, and that's E, enjoyment, or enjoy. So once we listen, once we act on it, once we meditate on where we've come from, God gives us enjoyment in life. And as Danny talked about last Saturday, you can have joy and peace in the worst of circumstances because you know where you're headed. Because you know that all of this doesn't even compare to what God has waiting for you. In fact, write this verse down. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18 tells us that the sufferings of this present time do not even compare to the glory that God is going to reveal in us. And unfortunately for Saul, because he did not take the appropriate steps, you will never see enjoyment listed with Saul. Saul never got to enjoy life after that. In fact, he went crazy after this. He tried to kill David eventually. He went off the deep end. He ended up committing suicide because he did not take the appropriate steps. However, David became known as a man after God's own heart. This guy knew where joy came from because he listened. He acted on it. He meditated on where he had been and where he was going. And because of that, he found true joy and true peace. And if you need that joy, if you need that peace tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right after we close in prayer. We're going to have Adam and Lindsay and myself. We're going to be up here at the very end. We want to pray for you. And if maybe you are a Christian, maybe you've accepted Christ, amen, keep going. But maybe you're struggling with something. Come talk to one of us. We want to pray with you. We want to point you in the right direction. It's time to act on what you know is right. But maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. Tonight's the night. Do you realize when you walk out that door tonight, you could know for sure that you're going to heaven? There could never be another doubt in your mind. Let me just tell you, that is an amazing feeling. And it's one that I hope everybody in this room gets to experience. So we need to be lame people. And I know it sounds a little funny. In fact, even on our mission trip, this is what we learned. And in fact, one of the nights, we had just done the ropes course. And we were sitting down with one of the guys, the Lone Tree guys, who hadn't been at our Bible study where we learned this. And so he said, "Hey guys, how was the ropes course?" And everybody was all, "Lame!" And he was all, "Oh, glad you guys enjoyed it. Man, that kind of stinks. You guys didn't have a good time." And I was all, "Dude, it's okay. That's good. You weren't at our Bible study when we learned what lame meant, all right?" So when your parents ask you, "How was velocity?" Tell them, "Dude, it was lame." All right? But then explain it, okay? Don't just go off right there because they're going to think that you don't like velocity and that I'm stupid, okay? I don't want them to think that. But just tell them it was lame. And then tell them what that means, that we need to listen, act, meditate, and then we can enjoy. Let's pray. Jesus, you're so good to us. As I was reminded today of where I've come from and the sin that I used to be drowning in, and the fact that I was dead, lying on the floor, helpless, with no eternity to look forward to. You picked me up. You filled me with life. God, I am not worthy of that. Jesus, I pray for anyone in this room who does not have that joy, who does not have that peace, who maybe life is rough for them right now, and they don't know why, and they're freaking out. Maybe people in here have had thoughts of suicide. Maybe they've wondered why they were ever even created, or if there's even a purpose for life. God, reassure them tonight that there is, and that you have a plan for them. Jesus, thank you that you have it all under control, and help us to serve you, to listen, to act, meditate, and God, bring us the enjoyment we're looking for. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed. If you guys need prayer, make sure.